Blog Talk Radio.
Christmas in July, that is. I'm Rick Goreski, and this is another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. We're talking about the 2015 rookie draft. It is come and gone, and I'm here with some friends to recap round one. Before we do that, let me introduce my co-hosts for today. First off, I have with me, frankly, he's not here. But if you've listened to this podcast before, you know that's not unusual. Brian Koch of the Marauding Minotaurs is going to be joining me momentarily. In the meantime, let me introduce to you a first-time guest on the show, a very special occasion, as we have Steve Wellman, owner of the Stone Form Pallies, with us. Steve, great to have you on the show.
Good evening, Rick. Thank you very much.
Often imitated, never duplicated. So how are you feeling about doing
thing.
The podcast?
I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Brian's going to pop in at some point. He'll call in, and we'll add him to the show. For now, because these are hard 30-minute shows, I don't have a lot of leeway to extend it, so let's start getting some of the content in. to recap, our goal is to walk through round one of the 2015 Mad Dog Dynasty League rookie draft and to talk about what picks we liked, what we didn't like, how the players fit into each team's roster, winners of the draft, losers of the draft, and just any general feelings we have about how round one went down. So let's get to it. Not a lot of balance in round one if you look at the breakdown by position. Ownership felt that offense was clearly the way to go. 9 out of the 12 picks were on the offensive side of the ball. 3 of the picks were on the defensive side of the ball. The breakdown specifically, 2 quarterback, 2 running back, 4 wide receiver, 1 tight end, and 3 linebackers. We had 4 owners, that being Crazy, 7, Dream Team, Malicious Minds, and Trans Pap Sixer, had multiple picks in the first round. Crazy, Dream, and Malicious had 2 picks each. Pabst had 3 picks, believe it or not, in the first round. 5 owners traded out of the first round, including my co-host today, Stone Form Pallies and Marauding Minotaurs, as well as Lost in the Sauce, Cling Around Uranus, Klingons Around Uranus, and You're in Trouble. So at this point, let me bring in longtime friend of the show, Brian Koch, owner of the Marauding Minotaurs. Brian, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Oh, well, thank you again, Rick, for having me aboard.
Always happy to have you with us. Steve Wellman is here of the Stone Form Pallies, and I just, recapped the breakdown of offense versus defense picks in the first round. It was just so that you can catch up with us. 9 offensive players out of 12. 9 offense, 3 defense. I was detailing that several teams picked up multiple first-round picks, and you and Steve actually were 2 owners that traded out of the first round. And Steve, actually, if I'm not mistaken, you traded out of the first round right as the draft was starting. So I'd like to ask both of you, since we have you here, what motivated you guys to trade out of the first round? Steve, would you like to start?
Sure, Rick. I had the last pick of the first round, and I figured my chances of getting one of the top blue chip guys was pretty slim. And what I actually did is I traded out my 12th pick in the first round for the, I believe, 9th pick in the second round. And 8th pick, you're right, 8th pick. And Derek Carr. So I actually look at it as I traded for my future quarterback and a pick back into the second round.
And, Brian, what was your thought in trading out of the first round?
Well, you know, that was a good question. I'd gone ahead and targeted Andrew Luck a few years ago, and I wasn't able to get my hands on him then. So I let him just kind of develop and show me what he can do on the field before I really made a good push for him. And then the doors opened up, and I was able to make a trade with Jim Team and Andrew Luck. I mean, who wouldn't want to trade up a first-round pick for a guy like that?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And going back to Steve, picking up Carr, that would have been a pretty healthy 12th overall pick by itself, right?
Yeah,
that was my thinking, yeah.
I know for myself, guys, just for everybody, I did have the first and third pick. I had maneuvered some trades and was fortunate. I took some gambles, and it paid off. The picks were really good. I moved up to 1-1 overall. I had 1-1 and 1-3, and the point of what I did was I really wanted to get Amari Cooper. I thought he was the safest pick in the draft, and I don't want to get too deep into player evaluation, but I want to tell you why I went up and got a couple of picks in that round. I've got a really good offense, but the guys are aging, and I wanted to get a couple of difference makers early, and I thought that was my best way to do it, was to try to get a couple of first-rounders, and that's why I moved up. So that's why I traded to get multiple picks, and that's why you guys traded out. So let me quickly rattle off who went where, and we can dig in with the comments on each player. So as I mentioned, one first overall, Amari Cooper, wide receiver Oakland, went to Crazy. Second overall, Melvin Gordon, running back San Diego, went to Malicious Minds. Third pick, Todd Gurley, running back St. Louis, went to Crazy. Fourth pick, linebacker, first defensive player, linebacker Eric Kendricks, Minnesota, went to Dream Team. Fifth pick was wide receiver Kevin White of Chicago to Pabst Sixer. Quarterback Jameis Winston went sixth. Jameis Winston of Tampa Bay to Show Me Your TDs. Seventh pick overall was wide receiver Nelson Aguilar from Philadelphia going to Ipswich United. With the eighth pick, Trons Pabst Sixer, again having three first-round picks, they gobbled up wide receiver Devontae Parker of Miami. Ninth pick, downhill from here, Bill Novak's team took linebacker Stephon Anthony, New Orleans. And then we had the 10th overall pick, Malicious Minds had quarterback Marcus Mariota of Tennessee. 11th pick was Dream Team coming in with tight end Max Williams of Baltimore, and Trons Pabst Sixer tying a bow around the first round with the pick they acquired from Steve, picking linebacker Bernard McKinney of Houston. So if I could step right back, and what I'd like to do, guys, the format that I've been doing that works well is I have done some generic research online, just seeing what the pundits said about the pick or the athleticism of the player. So I'll read the player, and I'll mention what the pundits said and give you each an opportunity to, you know, chime in for your thoughts, if you have any. And if you don't, that's okay. First pick, Amari Cooper went to Crazy. Great route runner. Talent is mature beyond his age. Guys, anything on Cooper? I thought he was the safest pick in the first round.
Steve, why don't you go ahead and your comments?
Well, yeah, I can't argue with the pick. It's a good pick. I personally probably would have went for one of the running backs, but you having two of the first three picks, I think you were guaranteed of getting one of the two stud running backs, so guaranteeing that you get the best wide receiver is probably a good move. And let me know if you want to trade a 2016 first rounder for Derek Carr.
No problem, man. My strategy on that was indeed that I wanted to get Cooper, and I knew I had the third pick. I was okay with either of those running backs. I did like Gurley better, but I was afraid of letting Cooper go by. And after talking to Tom later, he would have taken Cooper. So in hindsight, made the right choice on Cooper. Brian, any thoughts about Cooper?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was a top-rated wide receiver coming out. You know, as we know, the NFL is turning into a more passing league. And, you know, you can't go wrong. I mean, running backs, shelf life is averaging about 5 to 6 years right now. And when you go ahead and look at wide receiver shelf life can be as high end of about 13 to 14 years possibly. So kudos to you to be able to move up and make the move that you had to in order to get that number one wide receiver.
On the second pick, Melvin Gordon, running back, San Diego. We all are familiar with Melvin Gordon, a Wisconsin Badger. Malicious Minds, I had the opportunity to talk to Tom Buckles the other day, and he, you know, with this particular pick, how it impacts his team, Tom had made some trades and gotten rid of some big names like Calvin Johnson, Josh Gordon. He needed a playmaker that was kind of an identity, an impact guy. And that's what I think he got in Melvin Gordon. The analysts compare Melvin Gordon to Jamal Charles, say he has game-breaking talent. Who wants to start on Gordon?
Steve, why don't you just go ahead and continue with doing the first comments, and I'll follow
the first
up.
One, sure. I think this is a great pick. And we all know that Todd Gurley is going to be a star in this league, but he's still going to be stuck behind, or at least sharing carries in St. Louis, where Melvin Gordon, I think, is going to be the outright bell cow in San Diego. So that's a really good pick.
And Brian?
Yeah, to go ahead and follow up after Steve's comments there, Melvin Gordon, we saw him in Wisconsin over the last few years, and needless to say, you know, he's just been a phenomenal player. It was nice to watch him go ahead and grow up and really take the bull by the horns there, if I may say, and really just go ahead and turn into something special. So I think he has some good talent around him in San Diego, and hopefully he can take that team to the next level and be able to get into the playoffs and win a couple games and maybe take it to the championship.
Third overall pick was running back Todd Gurley, St. Louis, going to my team, Crazy Seven. Gurley has been compared, first of all, he was called the best running back in this particular fantasy draft by multiple fantasy sites. Todd Gurley compared by various draft analysts and scouts to Marshawn Lynch and a little bit of Adrian Peterson, more on the Lynch side. Obviously, the knee injury suppressed some of his value, but Gurley should, as Steve mentioned before, be a star in this league. So Steve, do you want to start off any extra comments on Gurley?
Yeah, best player available.
And Brian, any comments on Gurley?
Yeah, as far as Gurley, I mean, great pick there at number three. We all knew that he was going to be a top six. It just mattered what spot he was going to get grabbed up in. But to go ahead and obviously talk just a hair more about him, I mean, he was a great product in Georgia about 2 years ago. He had went through some injuries. But I think he has the talent and the ambition to go ahead and come back and be a really top running back for years to come.
With the fourth pick overall, drafts often zig and zag. This is where the first zig came, as Dream Team jumped in with the first defensive player, linebacker Eric Kendricks of Minnesota. Mel Kiper called Kendricks the best coverage linebacker in the draft. I was surprised to see him go as early as he did, but at the same time, I talked to another owner who picked right at, you know, close proximity of that, and they would have taken him. So Kendricks was a guy that was on a lot of people's boards. What do you guys think of Kendricks?
Well, for the Dream Team, it makes sense. He has quite a few playmakers on offense, but he's pretty slim pickings on his defensive side. And to pick a guy that's going to make an immediate impact and make some good scores, I think it's a wise move.
And for Dream Team, I want to mention, he is a guy who had great linebacker talent. And between contracts, injuries, retirement, it's just, you know, the bill is coming due. So right now, Dream had Briggs, for instance, from Chicago. He's now a free agent at the end of his career, if not over. Greenway is a guy that I can't remember. I think Dream has him on a right of first refusal. Daryl Smith, a little bit older linebacker from Baltimore. He's been milking some years out of Daryl Smith. So, Brian, any comments about?
Yeah, that was a big surprise, seeing that linebacker point at number four. That one there really kind of took me by surprise. I didn't expect that happening. But the only thing I can really say that hopefully you got one of the top guys out of the linebacker position. If you're going to reach for, the first guy up a position, hopefully you take the best one out of that grouping. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yep, fifth overall, wide receiver Kevin White, Chicago, went to Tron's Pap Sixer. Tron has done a great job. Tim and Zach have done a great job of rebuilding that roster because Mike Thomas didn't do them any favors as far as what he left, left on that team as far as rosters and contracts. They're finally getting free of some of those bad deals that they had set up. And between last year and this year, they've just done a fantastic job of rebuilding the lineup. So Steve, do you have any comments about the pick of Kevin White as Pabst continues to redo their offense?
Well, it's almost the polar opposite of what Dream Team did. Tron has very good defensive players, but doesn't have a good amount of offensive playmakers. I mean, he does have Sammy Watkins, who I would think that he had a down year last year. But that being said, again, he's going to get a wide receiver that's going to come in and make plays and get him points with Marshall going off to the Jets. I think he's going to be an immediate starter and get good points.
Sure. Some analysts said that White was the best wide receiver in this year's draft and just talk about his immense talent. Brian, did you have any comments about Kevin White?
Yeah. A wide receiver off the board. You know, again, that was another prediction where I felt he was going to be a top six pick overall. And needless to say, he wound up going at number five. But, you know, kudos to Tron to be able to hold in there and be able to pick off.
Sure. Now, Jameis Winston went sixth overall to Show Me Your TDs. Sky's the limit for this guy. We all know that. It's more of an issue of maturity. Is his head on straight? My reading up about his different comments made is his game was compared to Ben Roethlisberger, which not a bad thing if that pans out. Steve, any comments about Winston?
Just best player at the position he needs. He, I believe he only has Russell Wilson. At the very least, he didn't even have a bye week backup. So this is a very good pick for him. He definitely needed the best quarterback available, and Winston is the one.
Man, Brian, any comments about Scott's pick of Jameis Winston?
You know, I know that he was looking at one of the two running backs at that pick. He was hoping to have either Gurley or Gordon fall to him. You know, so he had contemplated taking Yeldon at that point, but he needed to have much faith. Well, hopefully he'll go ahead and pan out for him in the near future within a year or two. He can make up his mind with what he wants to do with Sin and be able to time it.
We're losing you just a little bit there, Brian, so I'm going to go ahead and go to the next player, which is seventh overall. Andy Wellman, Ipswich United, picked wide receiver Nelson Aguilar of Philadelphia. Aguilar, born in Nigeria, moved to the U.S. when he was five. He played football to fit in as a youth. That's how he got turned on to football. He's trying to fit into this new neighborhood, this new world coming all the way from Africa, and, you know, he sees this odd-shaped ball and jumps in and starts playing with the other kids, says, I can do that. Professionally described, very flexible, can play outside or in the slot, and he should produce right away. Steve, I think you had you mentioned something interesting about him. I don't know if you're going to tell the story or not, but please take it away.
Well, I did talk to the owner of Ipswich, and I know that he actually was looking to pick up Abdullah to be his handcuff for Joyke Bell. I'm not sure if he changed his mind at the last moment or if something went wrong, but this is still a good pick for him. He's definitely going to be a playmaker, and you really can't have too many of those on offense, can you?
Not at all. Brian, any thoughts on Aguilar?
Great receiver, great hands, great speed. I'm just trying to figure out whether that's going to be a good fit for Chip Kelly's offense, and you know, having a new quarterback up there with Sam Bradford, who's been injury prone for the last few years, how he's going to hold up. So, I mean, you know, a few question marks behind that pick. But obviously, Aguilar, you know, I mean, maybe later in his career he'll have a better quarterback and he'll be able to really blossom and shine.
Okay, about 10 minutes left, guys, so I'm going to keep it moving. Wide receiver Devontae Parker went 8th overall to Pabst. When all is said and done, Parker could be the cream of the crop at wide receiver from this 2015 draft, and that's saying a lot because there's a lot of other good wide receivers in this draft. He fell due to surgery to replace a pin in his ankle. I've heard a lot of pundits just make great comments about this guy's ability. Steve, any thoughts?
I agree, and also throw in the fact that he's sitting behind a lot of good veterans in Miami. So even if he doesn't make the starting lineup immediately in 2015, he's definitely going to have some guidance and some people to look to improve his craft.
Brian?
You know, I mean, again, you got a young quarterback down there. I think Tannehill's in his third or fourth year now. So hopefully he can mesh real well with this young wide receiver. And I think chemistry going with each other, they might be a Peyton-Manning Marvin Harrison couple. So we'll kind of wait and see how that takes off.
Sure. Next pick was downhill from here. Linebacker Stephon Anthony, New Orleans. Sean Payton called him the quarterback of the D. This was after they dropped him. Guy was very productive in college. He's set up to be the leader of the New Orleans defense for years to come. It's one of those odd situations where Bill had a shot at Mariota here, and he's long time needed a franchise quarterback. He passed up on Mariota, and he went defense. It's hard to doubt the guy because he's got two titles to his name. Been very successful. What are your thoughts on that pick, Steve?
Almost exactly what you said. I kind of scratched my head on that one because I think passing up on Mariota might come back to bite him, but you can't argue with a guy that has success.
Especially Anthony, great player. Brian, any thoughts on Anthony?
Very good linebacker in years to come. But again, marquee quarterback with Mariota there. So I know that looking at his team, he's been a little shy at quarterback for a few years. But I don't know, either A, luck is really striking him, and you know, he's going to keep his lady luck. But sooner or later, that luck runs out.
I know that I personally had Anthony as the top linebacker. I was really excited at possibly having a shot at him. Great player. Again, one of those deals where you got to tip your hat to Bill. The guys had proven success. Speaking of Mariota, that went ninth overall with the next pick to Malicious Minds. Tom, another team that needed to get a franchise quarterback, and he took the shot. Comments about him: fantastic skill set, mobile and can pass. Coming out of a spread offense in college, he has a lot to learn in the form of footwork and reads, but he could be great. His ability to scramble adds to his potential value. Steve, any comments on Mariota? You called him a franchise quarterback, potentially.
Yeah, two words, no-brainer.
Brian.
You know, you got me going there, Steve. That's a great great way to put it. You know, I think that Tom's going to have some great success as a quarterback. He won't have to worry about anything next, you know, possibly 7 to 10 years if all goes well. And, you know, kudos to him for picking up that quarterback that I thought he would be projecting in a top six spot.
Sure. The next pick was tight end Max Williams, Baltimore, going to Dream Team, 11th overall. He was the top tight end in the draft by far, is what the analysts are saying. He's been compared to Jeremy Shockey and Greg Olsen as far as his game. Was it too early for this guy, Steve? Any comments about Max Williams?
This is a big head-scratcher for me. I mean, even if he is Jeremy Shockey or Greg Olsen, what redraft league have you ever had where one of those two guys got drafted in the first round? He's already sitting, I think he's got three tight ends that are pretty much the same guy as Max Williams. And other than one good year by Pitta, you don't really look to Baltimore for a stud tight end. So this pick really boggled my mind, but, you know, maybe he just had something that he wanted to do with it. Maybe he's using it for leverage, or maybe he's going to use another tight end for leverage.
Brian?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and comment on that pick. I think that Dream Team could have waited until second, maybe even third round. You know, early third round picks that he could have waited on this guy and gotten something a little bit better. But, you know, Dream Team seems to know what he's doing. He's always been a good contender with that version. So, you know, whether this pick pans out for him.
I think the talent is there. The opportunity is there. A lot of times it takes tight ends a couple years to get their feet wet. I thought Dream Team had one of the best drafts, period. This is one pick that I wasn't a huge fan of, especially given that he did have some other viable players on his roster. But I know that he has been trying to get his hands on a tight end that he could really feel good about, and maybe that's the onus for this pick. Sometimes if you like a guy, go get him. I'm big on saying that. Says the guy that went out and got Arthur Brown. 12th overall pick, linebacker Bernardrick McKinney of Houston goes to Pabst. described as having a great first step and a nose for the ball. What do you guys think of McKinney?
I think it's a good pick. It's at the end of the first round. Probably he's trying to fill up his defensive stock. And there's no reason to believe that this guy can't step in. I think Justin Tuggle is playing that position right now, and he's been there for
a couple
of years and hasn't really – yeah, he hasn't really shown it. So I think McKinney next to Cushing is a good combination.
Brian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think at the last pick of the round, you know, I mean, taking a top-notch linebacker there, and I wouldn't say top-notch, but I would say one of the top four linebackers available in the draft, you know, you can't really go too wrong. So only times to tell him that pick, but, you know, I think that he's going to go ahead and do well, and good luck.
Well, I tell you what, this is a pick that I didn't like, and the reason why is because what I read, and I did a lot of studying on the linebackers in this draft, McKinney may only be a two-down linebacker. And if you're going to take a linebacker in the first round, he better be a guy who's going to be on the field three downs. And I don't know if McKinney's that kind of guy. I don't know if he's got the coverage skills. Perriman, who went to San Diego, I think two picks later, does have that kind of coverage skills. Tron, I got to praise him absolutely. In the past, last year and this year combined, they picked up Jeremy Hill. They picked up Devontae Parker, Sammy Watkins, Kevin White, and Safarin Jenkins from Tampa Bay. This particular pick, I just got the feeling like they wanted a defender here. So that's what they kind of had their sights set on, and that's what they did.
Yeah, I think Perriman and McKinney are kind of interchangeable, who you feel good about. I don't think that Perriman is going to be a every down starter. He may win the every down job, but I don't think he's going to start out that way. So,
sure. Well, guys, we got about 3 minutes left, so let's go through some kind of speed round questions here. Just throw out a couple of quick answers, and let's keep it moving. Favorite players drafted in round one. Devontae Parker was my favorite player out of round one. I think he's going to be a steal. Steve?
I think by position, I think getting Mariota at 10, probably a good pick right there.
Brian?
Good call. You know, the two running backs early in the draft, I think they're going to wind up being the breadwinners out of this draft. Again, as always, time will tell.
What pick didn't you like? I mentioned the little light on the Max Williams, didn't really care for the McKinney. What about you guys?
It's Max for me.
Yeah, definitely Max. Max is definitely, so if we were playing America's Got Talent, he would have been X'd out already.
Sure. Who do you think, as far as filling needs, positioning themselves, what team really helped themselves in this round? Just one or two owners, feel free to just anything that comes to mind.
You know, I think probably Crazy Seven. I mean, he's got, he picked up two of the, arguably the top five guys in the draft, and they're going to be immediate starters or at least immediate contributors.
Brian?
You know, that's huge, but I think to go ahead and say that Pap Sixer, so that's going to go ahead and be a huge breakthrough for him. I mean, he's definitely taken a team and, you know, ran with it last year, and hopefully he's going to be able to turn that team around and make it a contender.
Last question, guys, about 20 seconds each. Did anything stand out to you about this first round, or do you have any comments about something we haven't covered yet or just something you wanted to share? Steve, start it off.
Well, the one thing that really stood out, and I think we're beating a dead horse here, I really can't believe that Mariota fell to 10 when there are so many teams that really needed a franchise quarterback. So that would kind of caught me by surprise.
And then I'll say Mariota also. I thought that was pretty interesting. The Raptors, one more side of that, I just can't believe how many people traded out of the first round with the talent that was there this year.
I don't disagree. I think those are all fantastic, commentary by two of Mad Dog's finest. Gentlemen, that's going to be a wrap for our round one recap. For all the recaps, actually, the 2015 rookie draft recaps. For everybody listening, I sincerely hope you enjoyed the rookie draft recaps this year. Maybe we can keep this thing going, and it'll be something we do every year. I want to thank Brian Koch and Steve Wellman for joining me tonight. Thank you all for listening. Until then, sweet dreams, everyone.